Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Good morning, and it's good to see you all. This morning we are diving in and launching into a brand new sermon series, and it's called Make It Matter. And we'll be looking at how to live a life on purpose, with purpose, and for purpose. And today we begin with the sermon title, Lead the Way. It's going to be based on letter of Paul, chapter 15 in particular, a few verses in there. So if you ever missed a sermon in the series or any other sermon, you can catch up on it on our app. Once again, Charlie referred to it before, the barcode in front of your seat, scan. And if you've been having the app and you didn't know, there's sermon notes you can write on it during the sermon as well. Lead the way, leading a life on purpose. You know, when you hear the word lead the way, you know, immediately yours, I'm sure like mine, will be thinking like some higher position, like a president who lead a country, a captain in the army, or an army officer, a commander who command, a captain in a team, or, you know, a CEO or a manager, or even a simple title, but most really, really important, significant is the title, Lead the Way, a wife. That's big enough. A wife. This is why we survived 36 years in our marriage, because a wife, lead the way. You know, when we come to food, I lead the way, but everything else is down to my wife. But a title, but you know, in the kingdom of God, it's almost the other way around. Leading the way is usually far more ordinary and far more powerful than that. And the person who leads the way is often the person who's right there who pray first. The person who recognizes someone is in need and make a move towards that person. The person who say, I'll help, I won't wait for others. The person who forgive first. The person who serves while it is easier to kind of just sit back and relax. One of the biggest questions that many of us will ever ask is, does my life actually matter? You see, none of us wish to come to the end of life and then we kind of look back and discover that we were busy, we were successful, and even greatly respected. And yet, we're not as successful in producing the fruit the Bible talks about. So it is quite possible to be incredibly good and impressing people and yet still miss the mark. It's quite possible to be quite busy and yet still feel very empty inside. It's quite possible to climb high and then miss and forget about the people that God placed in your heart directly in front of you. You see, imagine an individual, a person who is really outstanding at performing all the large number of tasks, winning debates, and have some great recognition. However, the same person may never invest in a single person that God has placed in their life. Therefore, on paper, it's very successful. However, at the core of their existence, something is missing, have completely missed it. In Psalm 127, you're familiar with this passage here, that unless the Lord built the house, the builder will build in vain. So after dinner, this last Monday, just gone, my family and I, all of us, including our three grandchildren and our four dogs, sit around the TV and watch Cheaper by the Dozen. Yeah? Anyone said, remember that movie starring Steve Martin? Tom Baker got promoted, received this high package in this little town. Opportunity of a lifetime. Larger role, bigger promotion, bigger recognition, bigger, higher wages. But as his career started to expand and getting higher and higher, the family started to get dismantled, disconnected, and seems unhappy. They think it seems to go everywhere. Then comes the lines that seem to be hit home, and it's heart of the movie. He said, if I screw up raising my kids, nothing I achieve will matter much. Now, this is not just a movie line. This is wisdom. This is the actual truth that we find here. Because in Romans 15, we come to learn that Paul is not just writing a motivational letter, but rather demonstrating that a character, when a life, when God's grace is impacting and come into someone else's life and take control in that person's life, which Paul speak about it in another context, 2 Corinthians. He said that life, Christ died for us so that we might no longer live for us, but for God, but for Him. So a life that seems to make a difference, therefore, is not based on how much self-benefit that we can gain, but by how much Christ flows through us into others. So it's that will change somehow our question in our mind. No longer that how can I grow, but how can somebody grow through us? How can not no longer that, you know, how can I be blessed by God? Instead, how can God bless others through me? Something shift. And here Paul explained three ways of leading the way. And the first is this, that lead the way by serving. Okay, and then he went on and he talked about it in the first verse, verse 14. And notice what he says in here. What Paul is saying about this church that he knows in Rome, they are full of goodness. They got it all. They have all the mastermind about knowing the scripture ins and out. They got it all. They got the resources. They're so into this. But he said, but here is something that I've noticed. That you just seem to be laid back and just enjoy the warm pews and the comfort of this place. You just seem to be like a spectators and just so warm and just settle with that yourself. That was the way Paul, he said, you ticked all of that. But you know what? You are not spiritually less insignificant. So much more God has gifted you for others, to help others. And this is why what the church is intended to be, according to Paul. Not a stage of celebrities for people to get on here. Not a venue for spectators just to come and enjoy watching something. But it's a community with collective responsibility. Each and every person responsible to be a part of that body. And then Paul says, leading the way begins with service. It's about serving. And generally speaking, it matters less that you possess extraordinary gifts. And far more important that you serve with humility. Because you can have enormous gifting without humility that can damage somebody's life. Than someone who has little gifting, but fire, set on fire their hearts and our willingness and spirit can transform and change somebody else's lives. So consider a blue vest person. You may have seen some of them outside. You look at them and probably not as significant as someone who is here strumming a guitar and the drums and walk around and talk and good looking like me. That is so insignificant. But it only takes one little gesture of saying, good morning, good to meet you. Which let the other person who feel disconnected, it's saying to them, you are welcome and you matter. And it only takes one simple warm handshake to open up somebody for a sense of belonging and healing. That's all it takes. Simple taking action. So consider being a parent. When a parent and a child go up and watch the parent, when a child see a parent pray, when a child see a parent persevere, they show, you know, affection, love for one another, and doing the right thing. You know, before they get to hear a sermon, they already learn that by growing up and see their parents. That is leading the way. Jesus stated, for whoever desires to become great among you, shall be a servant. So the first implication is this. You must go first, in service for God. So do not wait until someone else move first. Do not wait until the circumstances and the weather and it's so much easier and better before it's perfect before you move. Do not wait until you feel prepared enough to make a contribution. It's just simply make a move and take action. Bless you. However, observe where Paul places the glory once serving commences. He says one in Romans 15, 17, he said this, that therefore I glorify in Christ Jesus in my service to God. He didn't say I glorify in myself. Paul had every reason to boast. He was the church planter. He was the one that wrote most of the letters in the New Testament. You know, he was the author and he was the missionary. But instead of that, Paul refuses to place his services under his own glory. Not as a result, not anything that he has done, but to God himself. And you know what? That is the heart of everything that I'm going to say this morning. Since service can quietly become about us, to be seen, to be heard, and to be thanked. And the moment my service become about me, this is what happened. It causes me to be, you know, it ceases to be ministry instead to be a marketing promotion. Here lies the test. Here it is. The test is this. Will I still serve if nobody noticed? I'm going to be bothered. Will I still show up if nobody thanked me? I've done all of that. Not even a word of thank you. Will I still be glad if somebody got the credit instead of me? And much more. You see, serve humbly as leaders and give glory to Jesus because it's not about us. And then he went on to say, lead the way by going first in faith. You know, faith is not merely something you hold mentally or psychologically or a knowledge and an idea. Faith is a moving faith. It's an action. It's the steps. James writes that faith without action, without works is dead. That does not indicate that you earn God's favor. Rather, indicates that genuine faith that kind of generates the attempt to move and to take the steps. And here is an example. Have you ever been in a car where the driver, you know, states, I think we turn left here. And then immediately every passenger had an opinion. Everybody wants to admit that they are unsure about it all. You know, that's often what faith looks like. You won't know everything. You won't even know the next few steps. Obedience is saying, I'm going to move forward based on what God has sown me. It was 1999. I wind up in 2001. I start attending the Baptist Church as a transition from the Tongan Methodist Church. I grew up all my life, even coming into Australia. So when I made that decision in 2001, I migrate with my whole family. It was tough and it was hard because we have to cross culturally, to cross over cross-culturally from a Tongan to an English-speaking church. It's just like South Baptist Church, and we have to cross denominationally and also cross theologically because we're so different theology in a lot of way, and a lot of things change here. Well, the first year I thought, oh, I'll just apply to ordination and see how I go. Maybe they might not expect, and if they don't, that's understand. Because I'm in a place of learning to know more about a totally different denomination and culture. Anyway, they accept me that year. I don't know how, but it happened. And then the same phone call I got back from Jeff Pound, who's the principal, and he said, by the way, would you like to consider pastor the next church down the road, Fentry Gully Baptist Church? I just about swear at him. I said, I just got in. I'm still trying to decide whether I pursue it or not. And he told me to start. I have no experience. I've never been in ministry. I've never been all of that. And Anne nearly divorced me because of that. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, I just went and trusted God. And know that he has done. It's been 23 years, 24 now in ministry. And I believe and love to see the impact on my children and the grandchildren to follow the Lord and many others. And they continue to work with God. And we are grateful. You see, faithful action is also trusting in the unknown. I had no idea. Prayer when you are dry and service when you are weary. Or forgiveness when it is so hard. Faithful action, trusting God when the path is even unclear as I head. And here's the secret about faith that causes the movement. It is never your own strength that carries it. It is always God. Paul, in the next passage, talk about this. And notice that I've highlighted a few important things as you read the text. Let me highlight. Because if you listen carefully for the phrases that he used here, a number of things are important. He said, the gift of God, service, which is myself, not look at what I've done for you, God, but look at what Christ has done through a life that allow itself to be used. And two things we notice what Paul was saying here. Firstly, though both what he said and did. Through that, you know, words and action, you know, people hear what you say. But to a degree, they're key to watch how you live your life. Second, through the power of the Spirit, not through the power of Paul. The good news for anyone thinking, I'm not good enough and I'm not skillful to do that. You are not called to impress. You are just called to be willing and be available to serve. Then look at the parameter and the scope of where he was working, from Jerusalem to a place called Illyricum, approximately about 2,000 kilometers in diameters of the area estimated where the gospel ground, where he preached the gospel. And it began with this one obedient man making one step of faith, one conversation, one city, one act of faith at a time, and it continued to multiply. And here is the thing that I've learned is from this. Great obedience is simply many little obedience, but repeated. Because we think of one grand obedience, we can only just convert ourselves, become a preacher, then we have the one obedience. It's not. It's a little obedience. Keep obeying, 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 that turn into a massive, big, grand obedience in God's sight. And that was Paul's life. That was his summon. You know, I've seen people come to church in the 23, 24 years of life. They were broken, despair, and until they start serving, it did not take the problem immediately, but something changed in their lives. Passivity disappears when purpose, because they see purpose, appears. They start quit thinking, I don't have anything to give, I'm not good enough and all of that. But to a point of, God can use me. Is that you this morning? Could that be you this morning? Proverbs 11:25 says, he who refreshes others shall himself find rest. Serving is not only doing something after you have the confidence and capable. Oftentimes, serving is how God gives you confidence and capability. And if I put it in another word, serving isn't only what you do once you feel strong, become strong. Sometimes, serving is how God makes you strong. That's a fact. And then Paul went on to say, lead the way by making disciples. And Paul here doesn't just talk about serving. He's talking about influencing others here. And then he went on to see in the next two couple of verses here. The New Testament believers are competent to instruct one another. This is the language that speaks directly to disciple making. Spiritual maturity is not just acquiring more biblical. It's not just that you become a master. You read so much that you understand the back to front to back. Write the whole scripture. Maturity is becoming someone who assists others in following Jesus. It's the product of what you know. Because precision is not quite leadership. It's not enough. Appearances and images is not quite a leadership. Control is not leadership. Leadership is assisting other people to move towards Christ. Imagine a hiking guide. You know, it's someone who just points a direction, but it's someone who goes ahead of the team and he walks the path and makes sure, ensure that they're heading the right direction to ensure there's no danger. The pathway are all clear for those who are following from behind. That's spiritual leadership. You know, you may stand before a crowd. However, if you aid and help someone to come to know Christ, that is leading the way. You know, you may never deliver a message, but if you help someone take the next step with Jesus, that is leading the way. That is why Paul encourages Timothy to entrust the truth for faithful men who will teach others. It's about multiplying. This is where we get our term, you know, multiply hope. It's this, not just me, not just us, but others as well. And that is a vital thing about the multiple church so diverse, such as Catalyst. You know, when a church focuses more on who it can assist rather than what it can gain, the church will reach its maximum potential strength. And then Paul went on to say, lead the way in mission. And then he talked about it in the next couple of verses. Read along. Paul is irresistible. What does that mean? He never satisfies and content when he sees the church. For him, his ambition is about looking outward. His objective wasn't so much about maintenance, even though it's great to ensure the place is looking good and all, get the carpet and the chairs is comfortable for the people. That wasn't his objective. The plan wasn't about comfort, to ensure that when the people feel warm and not cold. The aim wasn't keeping things running smoothly and ticking the box at all. Progress was Paul's ultimate goal. For him, notice the people around you crossing the room, pray for openings, carry God's presence into their daily life, living is the key. You know, I swim early in most morning a day, and often I pray, Lord, who it is that you're going to place before me that I'm going to encounter today? And I had a number of encounters, but even recently, I was sitting in a sauna bench in a room, and it was quite hot in here, and this guy was came and said, he knows me. And then it was something in me, and it says, first, my first impression, too busy, too hot, keep quiet. And then the spirit kind of nudged me in, and then all of a sudden, I just leaned over because he was just, his head down, some folded, and I can see that something's not right. And I just said to him, a tough day, tough morning. And within 20 minutes, I came to learn about his marriage challenge, about his parenting with his children. I learned about the toughness of circumstances at work. And then it was time, because I spent already 40 minutes in the sauna, sweating. I said, I'm going to go to the pool. So I went and I thought, Lord, I didn't pray for this guy. And then he came to the pool, and I was pumping myself on the crush trainer in the pool and working so hard and trying to sweat. Anyway, I saw him walking towards me, and I can see his eyes quite red. And he said, Pastor, can you just pray for me? There were people around. I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't preach a sermon. I would just listen. And then we came around to the side. I laid my hand and prayed for him. It was just a sauna bench, a pool across the road from here. Folks, that's missionary activity. It isn't a stage like this. It's just a bench and a pool just across the road. You don't have to be a preacher. A teacher can lead the way. A nurse can lead the way. A father and a mother can lead the way. A student can lead the way. You know, a retired person can lead the way. Missionary activity isn't about geography and title. It's about intentionality, about doing the business of God. You know, when someone hurts, you don't need to rehearse what you're going to say to be able to bring healing to that person. All it needs is just you to be present. Not through a lengthy lecture, but most people, it's through a conversation like that, they begin to start to experience and come to God. Now, observe what Paul states next, because it relates to how honest he is. He went on to say in verses 22, 24, three things that appear from here. Let's look at it. Three things highlighted. Remember those words? And I'm going to talk about. The first thing that we learn here is that mission requires patience. You know, he said, I have frequently been hindered. If you are still waiting on something God has obviously placed in your heart, you aren't acting disobediently. You're just like a Paul that had to wait for a season. Sometimes you seem just simply to be dead. The other thing is, mission requires a progress. You know, there is no longer any opportunity for me to work in these areas. This is what Paul said. Now, think about it. Many of us cling tightly to season where God has already completed the work. And then we're still working and working and trying and sweating and all of that. When God's already done, then we are ready to move on. Require progress. We need to work through what is our next step. And the third thing is, mission requires partnership. Assist me on my journey. This was Paul's yearning for the folks. The greatest apostle requests assistance from an unmet church. Assist me in sending my overseas missionary. This is Catalyst. You know, we can go We can all go, but everyone can send some. Some will travel through the world. Someone can just cross the road, across the city, across the streets, across the room. Some will provide support. Those we go. So all of this constitutes to what is leading the way together. It's about not being alone. So Paul went on and he said this. Mission requires patience and all of that. And he went on to talk about through the scripture that by leading together, if you can take me to the next slides, which talk about, he talked about the places and where he was traveling and what he was doing in there. And as you read, this represents the best kind of the church. That even churches from Greece, many are themselves financially poor back then. They were willingly collected and keep doing what they did they felt was right for them before God. They never interacted from culture they had previously, you know, worked through from society. And Paul writes twice, they were willing. He keep quoting it, they were willing. So when you comprehend what you receive spiritually, contributing financially ceases to be considered something that we lose. That's the kind of passion. You know, someone prayed for you prior to conversion into Christianity. Someone welcomed you prior to you feel a sense of belonging as a member of the fellowship. And you currently exist because someone has been hospitable and very generous. Leading the way together collectively somehow manifests itself as follows. That what came freely to me flow freely to others. Very simple equation. Quite often we hold on to it. When it was freely given, it has to be freely driven. My food, my car, my family, my hours, my time, my days of the week. Romans 15, 28 to 29. It was here where Paul completes what he began. You know, he didn't just collect offering. He sees that it arrives safely. Anyone here may volunteer and can volunteer. However, it seemed to Paul that maturity seemed to produce its result. And that confidence, the full measure of the blessings of Christ, Paul cannot seem to fathom here what lies ahead. We know the story. The shipwreck, the illness, the arrest, and the bonds, and all of that. However, this is what he noticed. He knows this much, and this is important, that whatever obedience takes me, wherever obedience takes me, the blessing of Christ comes with me. Did you hear that again? Whenever obedience takes me, the blessing of Christ comes with me, because you're never going to step out alone when you move in faith. And then he says in Romans 15, 30, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle. You know, Paul even longing for that kind of partnership. You know, no one seemed to serve in solo ministry. Because in the kingdom of God, most influential leaders usually realize their dependency on God and dependency of others. And I know that in my own life as well. And then in Romans 15, 31, 32, see how Paul's been specific when he talk about needing others. In his prayer requests, he say, protect me. He say, enable the gift to arrive and then bring me joy. Back to you with joy. He was so specific. You know, see, Paul doesn't just say, pray for me when you can, when you're able. You know, many times our prayer are too polite or elicit clear answers. Bless everybody. Cannot possibly be tested. However, God rescue my brother within 30 days. That cannot be. So that's how tough it is. But here's the tender part about this guy, Paul. The most mature follower of Jesus in the room desired to enter this community to be refreshed in a fellowship. The apostle requires the body to fill his cup because he starts running empty. If Paul, as a human being, needed that, so you and I, then so does those volunteers, tired, who are sitting perhaps next to you this morning. It's like me last Sunday. for two services. Most of the time I was standing outside trying to manage the team of people, trying to look after the food, organize the food, eating the food, tasting the food, all of the above. It was tiring. But halfway through, my tummy would start filling up. But you know what? I couldn't do it all myself. I was buggered at the end. My feet were sore. But number of people I had to depend on put that all together. Why don't we give a hand for those who are... give the hand up. And for those of you who cook and prepare food, thank you so much. We are grateful for that. And we're doing it again next week. No, it's not. At times, leading the way means being the very first to step in and extend the invitation. Leading the way just simply means noticing the individual that everyone just happened to go past and missed it. At times, it involves simply being present and being consistent. It may appear mundane, however, this is exactly how God built His church. What does it mean? What's the application for all of us today, this week? Church, this is not just a sermon to listen to or a lecture, prepare for an exam. This is a life to live, a decision to make, something to step into. Today, the Word of God is really calling all of us. The Spirit is moving beyond passive acceptance, beyond comfort, into purpose. Because Jesus did not save you and I to sit in the pews and warm up the chairs. He called us to serve. I said in the first service, and I said it again. When I first came from Tonga and moved here and come to Australia and start following ministry, I always felt that this is my mission field. I was called here to serve. And if you are like me, ask that question. God brought you here for a reason, to serve and make a difference. Lord, we thank you that this morning you challenge us and you lead us to go somewhere that they don't even know you and experience you. But as we take this exercise, Lord, all we want to say yes to you. Yes to serving you. Yes to that one name. Yes to make a step. Yes to the strategy that we put together. Yes to lead the way and not be the last, but make a step and go first. And Lord, we invite you to continue to work in us as we just build this momentum and let the Spirit move in us this morning as we engage with you faithfully in this little exercise could change not only our lives, but lives of those that we place in those cards. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just keep going.